This is a guy's class. I was going to bring in my little survival kit, like Gene has. And has everything his has, but mine also has a gun in it. And the only reason is because I live in Arkansas. And I never leave Arkansas, pretty much. So I'm here all the time. I got a concealed carry permit. So I carry a weapon as well. He travels all over the world, so he can't do that. But with something like that, what's good about it is if you get into a situation, if something bad happens, an earthquake or a tornado or whatever, you can have, you know, with that little bag I have, I can go off into the woods if I have to. You're good to go, you know. It's a good way to think. Don't ever think that just because, you know, don't ever think that things can't go wrong, because they can. And the best thing you can do is be prepared. I say this every year, but one of my favorite quotes is, you do not rise to the occasion, but you sink to the level of your training. You do not rise to the occasion, you sink to the level of your training. So the better trained you are in whatever it is you're doing, the better off you're going to be. Okay? Now what I'm going to do today, we're only going to look at one verse of Scripture, but before we get there, really, this is going to be more of a day of practical advice. Okay? That's all right. It's going to be, the things I'm going to tell you are things that you can take with you the rest of your life. Okay? I want to talk about, first, say a little bit about fear, because fear is something that we all experience. What is fear to you, anybody? What does fear mean? When you think of fear, go ahead. Right. You get somebody breaking in your house, that's a scary situation. Yes, sir. Yeah, fear and anger. Get angry. Yeah. Yeah, in fact, what's the truth is that the source of anger is fear. You know that? Isn't that crazy? A lot of times when you're really angry about something, most of the time you're scared of something. Okay? But getting back to this idea of fear, being scared that's a good description. Now, if when somebody, you know, in a scary movie and something jumps out at you, that's different. That's not fear. That's like, oh, you know, that's kind of, or you almost step on a snake or whatever, that makes you jump. That's different from fear. Fear is something that you feel in the gut of your stomach. Fear is something you talk about being your house being broken into. Let's say you're at home and you hear your door break in or whatever, and you know there's somebody in the house. All of a sudden, you're going to get that, what's called an adrenaline dump, and you're going to get that funny feeling in your gut, and that's fear, okay? What's that? Something that you worry about happening. And that's kind of the direction I want to go with what I want to say this morning regarding fear. But there's three things I want to say about it. I would get the pendant done right. Let's try this one. F-E-A-R, fear. One, fear is the enemy. Okay? Fear is the enemy. Fear is not our friend. Fear is the enemy. And like I said, fear and surprise are two different things. Fear is that you get that knot in your gut. Appreciate it. But fear is the enemy. Fear is not from God. Okay, fear is from Satan. He's the one that creates fear. He's the one that institutes it. He's the one that brings it about. When we think about it, the theme of our camp, greater are those for us than those against us, we need to take that to heart and to realize that we don't need to be fearful of anything, because we have the presence of God within us. We have all three members of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, live within us. And what you got to do is you got to get to the point in your mind every day when you think and remember that man, I don't have to be fearful of anything, okay? Because fear is the enemy. Fear does not come from God, so I'm going to reject it. I'm not going to be scared. Let me say this: it's okay to feel fearful. It's okay to feel that gut, that knot in your stomach. but don't give in to it. Don't let it overwhelm you. How about that? You know the story? You guys ever heard of Nick Bacon? Anybody? I know Hemp. Nick Bacon won the Medal of Honor. He died just a couple of years ago. He's a good friend of Gene's. And when he was in Vietnam, his platoon came under attack from like a company-sized group of soldiers. I mean, they were way outnumbered. And immediately, as soon as the firefight started, there was guys dropping all around him, and he fell into a foxhole, and initially he curled up into a ball because he was scared, right? He was fearful. But what he did was he says, you know what, I'm not going to die here. I'm not going to go out like this. And he overcame his fear, and he ended up saving his platoon, basically, and he got the Medal of Honor. All right? This is what I'm talking about. Fear is the enemy. It's going to happen. You're going to get scared. You're going to be fearful, but don't stay there. Don't give in to it. Number two, the lifeline of fear. The lifeline of fear is the imagined future. The lifeline of fear is the imagined future. Since I was a police officer for so long, my tendency was to always imagine the worst case scenario. One of the things that I hated to do was go to court. There was one occasion where I was in a court and the lawyer and the judge basically made fun of me. Okay? And ever since that one instant, I hated to go to court. It didn't matter if it was a deposition. A deposition is where you go and there's two lawyers there, one defense lawyer, one state attorney, and they sit there and they question you about a case. And it's no big deal. They're just asking you questions. Court is no big deal. It's just asking you questions. And if you're prepared for it, it's okay. Everything's going to be fine. But what happened to me, is I had an imagined future of how it was going to be. And so that would feed my fear. And to the point to where whenever I found out I had to go to court, I'd get that knot in my stomach. And I'd get upset. And I was like, oh man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to court because I just know it's all going to go wrong. Are you following me? What is it that you fear? I'm just not asking, but think about the things that you fear and what you do. What you're going to find out is that the lifeline of fear is how you think things are going to turn out. Okay? I'm going to fail in school, man. I just know it. I'm going to lose that girlfriend. Whatever. Okay? Whatever's going on in your life, when you give in to fear, you begin to develop this future of how you think it's going to be, and that's going to become the lifeline of fear, and it's just going to get worse. You know what? Most of the time, the things that you think are going to happen don't. Most of the time, the things that you are scared of, that you're just convinced that if I go into this situation or if this thing happens, most of the time, that's not what happens. The worst does not always happen. Okay? That's just a fact of life. And finally, the last part about fear is the way you conquer it is with honesty. You conquer fear with, fear, F-E-A-R, with honesty. You conquer fear with honesty. You know what that means? You know what you know, and you don't know what you don't know. All right? You only know what you know. And all you can deal with is what you know. If you start trying to go to the imagined future, do you know the future? No, of course you don't. Nobody does. You don't know what it is. So why worry about it? Let's say that you're an MMA fighter, mixed martial arts. Let's say you're getting ready for that fight. What do you know about your opponent? What do you know about your opponent? He has the same training as you do? Maybe. What's that? Yeah. Y'all about the same size. You have the same training. You're going to know his height. You're going to know his weight. You're going to know what his reach is, right? You're going to know what his record is. You're going to be able to watch video, right? That's right. You're going to know his weaknesses. You're going to know his strengths. You're going to know all those things, right? That's what you know, you see. But what you don't know is if he's learned some new technique, or if right before the fight he breaks his arm in a car wreck and he can't fight, or whatever. You don't know. All you know is what you know. And the way you conquer fear is with honesty. I just know what I know about this guy, so that's what I'm going to go with, and I'm going to go enter this fight with no fear. I'm not going to imagine the worst. I'm just going to do the best I can. I've trained hard. You following me? It is pointless to worry about what could happen. I'm terrible about this. Riley knows. He lives with me. I'm terrible about this. Okay? I'm being transparent here, guys. I'm being honest. And I'm not like this all the time, but sometimes my imagined future is just like, oh man, I'm just going to die. Okay? I'm just kidding. It's not that bad. But whatever's out there, I start automatically assuming the worst. That's a bad place to be. You don't want to do that. You don't want to give in to that kind of fear. You want to stay cool, calm, and collected, and realize that God is in control. Okay? As you guys go through your life, you're going to face what I like to call many dragons. You're going to face all kinds of situations. Whether it be at school, in your job, in relationships, there's always going to be something out there. And there's three things that I want you to keep in mind. When you think about your future, you need to prepare yourself in three ways. Spiritually, which is what we've been talking about all week. Pursue Christ, all right? You know, go beyond just this passage. Learn everything you can about the Bible. And pursue Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Number two, mentally. Educate yourself in as many ways as possible. Don't assume anything. Find out for yourself. You know what a lot of people today do? Especially your age and older, especially about the age of 20 to 25. They turn on CNN and they get their entire worldview from CNN. Do you hear what I'm telling you? They get their entire worldview from a news channel. And a news channel can say whatever they want. They can convince you, or, you know, they don't have to say the truth, and trust me, they don't. Is that how you want to live your life? Do you want to be that way? Of course not. And Fox News, whatever it is, find out for yourself. Educate yourself. While you're in school, do the best you can. You know, try hard. Study hard. Get ready. Be prepared. And if you want to find out about, I don't know, pick a subject, anything, anybody. Baseball and physics. Great. Learn everything you can about physics. You know, go beyond just the classroom. As you go through life and you want to learn how to weave a basket, educate yourself, right? Don't assume anything. Get yourself ready. Find out for yourself. And let me tell you this, the most important subject you can study in school is history. I'm telling you. Everybody thinks history, that's boring. No, it's not. Okay? History tells us about what the future is going to be like because history repeats itself. So spiritually, prepare yourself to face the dragons. Mentally, prepare yourself to face the dragons. And finally, physically. Stay in good physical shape. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean you have to be some top-notch athlete with a washboard and all that mess. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, just take care of your body, you know, all the days of your life. Be like Caleb that we saw last night, who is 85 years old and was still killing giants. All right? So, fear is the enemy. The lifeline of fear is the imagined future. And the way you conquer fear is with honesty. You know what you know, and you don't know what you don't know. All right? That's the way you got to live your life. You don't know. I don't know if in the next 2 minutes I may drop dead. I don't know. I don't want to. You know, I may be walking out and I may, you know, break my foot or whatever. Who knows? We don't know. You know? You can't worry about the future. Guys, one of the things that I am concerned about at these camps is you're told so often that the world's going to hell in a handbasket. It is. It's been that way for a long time. But you can't live out there. You can't. You got to live your life right now, moment by moment, because that's all you have. The past is the past. The present is right now. And you have no clue what the future holds, other than the fact of what the Bible tells us, that at some point and some time, these things are going to happen. And yes, we know that there's going to be, you know, we know things are getting worse. We know that. But don't dwell on it. Live your life. Pursue your dreams. But keep Jesus Christ first in everything that you do. I've told this to the church to where I teach. When I was your age, about 16 or so, I was a prophecy freak. I kept newspaper clippings out of the newspapers. I had a notebook full of all kinds of stuff about prophecy, and I was convinced. Well, I wasn't quite to that point yet. But I was convinced that Jesus was coming back any minute. That was 30 years ago. Look, I'm still here. Okay? He is coming back. There's no doubt about it. We're a day, every day is closer. But I cannot spend my entire life in the future. You can't do it. All you can do is what you can do. All you know is what you know. And what you don't know, you don't know. All right? That's the best advice I can give you. That's the only way, that's the best way to be happy. But at the same time, be prepared. Remember the first thing I said, you don't rise to the occasion, you sink to the level of your training. Have a plan everywhere you go. Be ready. Okay? Now I want to spend a few minutes talking about what I think is the most important thing that you guys can hear at this camp, and that's respect. Respect. I want to talk about it from several different aspects. And first of all, respect for your parents or your guardians. I know some of you have some really screwed up home life. I get that. I know some of you have no parents. I know some of you have been raised by other people than your parents. I understand that. Okay? But you still must respect those who are taking care of you. Okay? You cannot spend your life, oh, woe is me. You can't do that. You got to look beyond that. You got to get past that. Because God has given you this life. He's given you this time. You're still here. You're still alive. Therefore, God is not done with you yet. Between the ages of 13 and 18, boys becoming men can become rebellious. It's a natural fact. It's what happens. I would encourage you not to do that. Why do my parents make me do this? My parents don't understand my situation. I know more than they do. I can't wait to get out of here. That's normally what happens along about that age. And all of a sudden, between the ages of 20 and 29, you will be humbled and you will realize that your parents are not as lame as you thought. Okay? You know why I know that? Because that's where I was. Every man in here knows what I'm talking about. I'm hoping, I guess we're not going to be able to do that video, are we? I was going to show you guys a short video. It's a commercial for Xbox. And it shows this woman in labor. I mean, it just shows her in a hospital bed. And it shows her in labor, and all of a sudden, this baby shoots out. You don't see anything. But the baby shoots out, busts out the window like a missile, and this baby's going through the air. And the whole time, he's going from a little baby, and then he becomes a little boy, and then he becomes a teenager, and then he becomes a man, and all of a sudden his hair starts to turn gray, and now the apex is starting to go down like this, and now he's an old man, and all of a sudden, bam, he hits a coffin, and he's dead. Yeah, we do. Okay, it's because of the internet. It is one of the best commercials I've ever seen in my life to let you know the brevity of life. I'm telling you guys, I'm 49. Wayne, how old are you? He's 39, okay? He's 10 years younger than I am. No, my point is this. 79. He's 79 years old, I'm 49 years old, and you guys, you're like, golly, you guys are ancient. Listen, you're going to be there before you know it. Like I told you, along about the age of 20 to 29, you begin to get married, you begin to have kids, and all of a sudden, at some point and in some way, you're going to get humbled. Okay? Learn to be humble before that is what I'm trying to tell you. Okay? Don't let life force humility on you. And then you're going to be in your 30s and your 40s, and you're going to look back on your life and say, good grief, what happened? You only get so much time. Make the most of it. Respect your elders. Respect yourself. A horrible thing that's going on in America today is self-hatred. People hate themselves. All right? Listen, if you're a believer in Christ, well, any person, Jesus died for the entire world, the entire human race. He loves you. So why should you hate yourself? That doesn't make any sense. Don't hate yourself. Respect yourself. Respect your body. How about the ladies and the women? You better learn to respect the ladies. Okay? Not only do you want to respect your parents and your guardians and those in authority, but also the ladies. No sex before marriage. If that's not the case for you, if you've already had sex, there's nothing we can do about it. But what you can do is stop it now and move forward in a positive direction. You don't know that your girlfriend is going to be somebody's daughter, all right, and somebody's future wife. You got to respect the ladies. Make your relationship with Christ the number one priority in your life. When you find your life mate, and you know that this is a person I'm going to marry, you better make Jesus number one between the two of you first. Because if you don't, that marriage is not going to work. You know how I know? Because I've been divorced. You know why I was divorced? Because my wife and I, my ex-wife, we did not put Christ first. The lady I'm married to now, we've been married 22 years. You know why that marriage works? Because Jesus is first. That's the only reason. I'm not making this stuff up. This is the real deal. Respect the women. And by the way, don't let the ladies treat you like crap either. It goes both ways, guys. Okay? Respect one another. Finally, respect for authority. One day you're going to go to work somewhere. That's going to be your employer. Learn to respect them. Don't be stupid and run your mouth. A lot of people lose jobs because they run their mouth. They think they know what's best and all of a sudden they don't have a job anymore. Respect authority, and I'm talking about police officers. Do what they say. Keep yourself out of trouble. Okay? Has anybody got any questions about anything we've talked about thus far? Fear is the enemy. The lifeline of fear is the imagined future. Conquer fear with honesty. You know what you know and you don't know what you don't know. Right? Okay? Respect authority. Respect the ladies. Respect yourself. Respect your parents. Respect animals. You're right. That's a good one. He's right. Respect animals. The dragons you face in your life, prepare yourself in three ways spiritually. Pursue Christ, put Jesus first in everything you do mentally. Educate yourself. Find out for yourself what the facts are. Physically, stay in good shape. Okay? Now turn, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Philippians chapter 4. After we look at this one verse of Scripture, I'm going to be done and I'll take questions if you guys want to talk about anything at all. Okay, and if not, then we'll wrap it up. I told you I wasn't going to keep you real long, but I want you to listen. You guys have been excellent. You guys have been listening. I love it. I'm grateful. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. You could make this your life verse, guys. If you could learn to live by what this verse says, then you're going to prepare yourself spiritually, mentally, and physically. It's all going to work out. Okay? He talks about truth, first of all. Live it and speak it, even when it's hard. Speak the truth, even when it hurts. You know, if you're driving your mom or dad's car and you get in a wreck or you get a big dent in it or something, don't try to cover it up. Be honest. Be straight up. I'm telling you, that is always the best policy. Always tell the truth. Live the truth. Speak the truth. The next word he uses is the word honorable. And this is the idea of respect in all its forms. Everything that we were just talking about regarding respect means to be honorable. Purity. Somebody tell me what purity is. Anybody? Any of you guys? Yes, sir. Yep, pureness and cleanness. You're on the right. Huh? Strength. Actually, when you think about purity, I want you to think about your mind, keeping your mind pure. You guys are bombarded today with the internet, with magazines, books, movies, television, radio, who you hang out with. You're bombarded with all kinds of things that are not pure. Okay? It's so easy these days to access the internet and look at porn, right? It's easy. It's simple. Yeah. Listen, I know. And what the challenge from the Word of God is to keep yourself pure, to keep yourself away from all that. How about the word lovely? This word speaks of being easy to be around, easy to get along with. Are you easy to get along with, or are you a jerk? All right? Are you fun to be around, or are you a jackass? The Word of God tells us, don't be a jackass. Nobody wants to be around people like that. And when he talks about being lovely, that's what he's talking about. It's not like, oh, look how lovely I am. That's not what he means. Okay? Huh? No, better not. We'll keep that between us. Lovely is the idea of being easy to get along with. Okay? How about the word? How about the good reputation? Your reputation or reputation precedes you and it follows you. Be careful with it. Reputation precedes you and follows you. If you're a hard worker, okay, if you work hard with your employer or whatever, or how about football? If you work hard at football or in any some other sport or in class or whatever, you're going to get a reputation for your teachers, for your coaches, for your employer. And if you have a good reputation, it's going to help you later on, right? Let's say you move to another city and you want to go work for somebody else. And the person you want to work for calls the person that you were working for and they say, hey, what's this guy like? Oh, man, he's a jackass. I wouldn't hire him in a heartbeat. Forget it. Or, man, he's the best worker I ever had. I hate to see him go. I wish I had 10 more just like him. Reputation, guys. It's important. You need to keep it right. And then he talks about, finally, he says, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Excellence, things worthy of praise, your thoughts, your words, your actions. Are they excellent? Are they worthy? Are they good things? This is the place you want to be. This is the way you want to go. You want to learn to dwell on these things. Okay? This is probably the most important one of all. Dwell on them. Think about them all the time. All right. Well, that's all I have. I told you it was going to be pretty quick and easy and simple this morning. That's all I have.